Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the Seriously Wrong podcast. We are your humble co-hosts, Sean and Aaron. It's Canada's longest running independent comedy podcast. I'm going to start saying that in every episode until someone disproves it.
Yeah, I think it probably is
comedy
true.
I mean, some episodes are funnier than others.
Yeah, but. I mean, it's, I don't know if I'd call it a comedy podcast as its only or primary designation, but as one of its designations, it definitely is a comedy podcast. Can't deny that. I wouldn't want to deny it.
Yeah. And if you're talking about the intersection between Canadian comedy and left-wing politics, there's no way anyone is touching us in terms of how long running we've been going.
Oh, yeah.
No way.
No, it's got to be impossible. Another designation this podcast has, or that we've given it at times, is that it's a podcast about the meaning of life.
Right. Yeah. No, that's actually, that's an influential listener comment we received once to me. Is someone said, I feel like between the lines on this show, listening to the whole thing, it's really about some really big stuff. So stepping up to that plate, I think we should try to figure out what is the real and true meaning of life, actual final underscore final, because I know a lot of people out there are waiting. They're like, Seriously Wrong hasn't done an episode where they tell me the purpose of life, or I guess human life or my life. And we need to rectify and close that gap. I feel way, way behind. I'm guilty. I'm up at night sweating. This is something that should have been delivered. We're letting people down. And time to close that gap.
We now go to the giant machine where people can go up, put in their tickets, and receive deep and true knowledge of their personal meaning of life.
Hey everyone, we're going to start taking tickets from line one, and then we're going to work sequentially, one per line. Once you get clearance to go forward, push your ticket into the machine with the giant mechanical oracle and pull down his arm. I do want to say one last time the warning that we've been giving this whole time. When you bought the ticket at the earlier gate on our website, you may not like it. It may not be what you want, okay? We can't promise you a great and wonderful meaning of life, just the true meaning of your life. Again, not everyone is satisfied, so you're taking that risk, knowingly.
All right, I guess I'm first. Go up here, put the ticket in. Okay, what does it say? The meaning of my life is to raise my children well and be a ray of sunshine in the neighborhood, bringing light and love to the lives of all I touch. Wow, that's that's beautiful.
Okay, moment of truth. I'll just slide in my ticket and pull down the Oracle's mechanical arm. To demonstrate mastery in living a good life in a way that echoes across humanity, love and be loved, and to create great works of art. That's, oh my, thank you, thank you.
You know, they say to be worried, but everyone here is getting great ones, great meanings to their lives.
Yeah, they just say that.
Like, it seems so happy and fulfilled, and
yeah.
All right, I guess I'll go up and put my ticket. I think I know what I'm gonna get. Let's pull the arm and. The purpose of your life is to be publicly humiliated multiple times in order to serve as a broader lesson to others through your shame and personal debasement. That doesn't seem right. Excuse me, doorman guy. I think there's a problem with the meaning of my life. It's just not what it
yeah,
is.
I don't know what I can say, man. It's the meaning of your life.
Right. Are you sure someone else didn't get in the way or, like, the vibe? Like, I don't know how it works. Like, how does
Look,
it know
no one
who...
knows how it works, buddy, but it's true.
I can just tell you, like, it'd be very out of character for this to be true of me. I'm very suave.
Look, okay, here, let me see it.
Yeah. See,
yeah,
me,
okay, look, it's...
that's never, that would never.
Buddy, mine is to run the fucking ticket desk here. That's what it told me.
Right, I mean, that's great.
It's not great.
All right.
I had dreams.
All right. Way to make it about you. I was kind of coming to you with my problem.
I don't know you. I don't care about your problems.
Isn't it your job? Where's the customer service? Am I right, everybody? Shouldn't they have better customer service? We paid good money for these tickets.
Everyone.
And they didn't even warn
us. He's having a public incident, everyone.
This is not a public incident. I mean, well, maybe it is, but you're the one having the incident, right, everyone? And
they're not all good. The customer service is great here. We get a lot of 5-star reviews.
We need to fix the machine because it's broken.
It's not broken, everyone. He just has a bad meaning of his life. Raise your hand if you were warned twice or 3 times.
We were only warned about bad meaning of lives, not inaccurate meaning of lives.
It's accurate, everyone.
So
everyone here is looking at you. You're creating a big scene.
Yeah.
There's not smiles on their faces, not speaking
up.
They're
not smiling you. All right, everybody, follow me.
It is an opportunity for humiliation. I'm just saying.
It's not going to happen. There's no way that...
His pants fell down, revealing his little hearts on his underwear.
How did that happen? I thought I had my belt. Hey, no.
His little underwear with hearts on it fell down, revealing his bare naked butt.
But the elastic was still good this morning. Whatever, we'll still...
Watch where you're going, sir. He's falling down the stairs.
I'm tumbling down the stairs.
Further attention to him and his naked butt.
Accidentally naked. My butt is out. Everyone can see. It's so humiliating. I now pronounce you with the key to the city.
I'm so excited. All the newspapers are here to take pictures of me. The youngest boy to ever get the key.
And now to take a picture of the boy for the newspaper.
What is that? The photo is ruined. Oh my, did you see the picture of that guy? All because he couldn't accept the meaning of his life. Well, it just goes to show you, you're not always going to like it. And they do warn you about that.
And I'm really glad that they put it on the front page because it was a big lesson to me about really thinking
absolutely.
About whether I want to use this mysterious oracle.
Yeah, big humiliating lesson, I think, for all of us. Not that it was humiliating for all of us, but the humiliation of the one was the lesson for all.
Yeah.
And I heard that at the bottom, he fell into kind of like a slimy, gross pool of refuse, and he was covered in garbage and really stinky things when he walked out afterwards.
That's why they refer to him as Edward, quotation, Stinky Butt Jones. Yeah. Taught the city a big lesson today.
Yeah, people think it's just because all butts are stinky, but it's actually, there's a double meaning of even more stink.
That's cool, Laura. I like to know that kind of stuff.
So yeah, I'm not going to the Oracle. Some things are better left unknown.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think I'm going to do it, though.
What is the meaning of life? Time to resolve this question once and for all. So let me just actually open up Google and just get the definition of meaning.
And get the definition of life and nail that down.
I just wanted to be crystal clear before I got out there and show my ass.
My initial instinct is that the meaning of life is something to do with libraries, building and maintaining libraries. There's a lot that goes into that, and there's a lot of implications that are broader than you might expect, but...
So that's like the meaning of human life in society is to create ever greater frontiers of libraries.
Yeah, human life. Libraries are a system that support human life. Commonly held property is a way to support people. A lot of people want to leave something behind. I think that's a common human desire. Like, what will I have achieved in my life? And the way that we catalog and maintain those achievements over time is through libraries. Obviously, having friends and family and social connections and desirable experiences that may not last forever are also probably part of the meaning of life. But I think those probably tie into libraries. I gotta think for a sec here.
Yeah, I guess there's a couple layers. There's like, what is the meaning of an individual's life? There's the meaning of like human life in society. And then there's the meaning of the existence of life in the universe instead of the absence of life. And just looking here at Merriam-Webster, the definitions that it gives here are 1A, the thing one intends to convey, especially by language. B, the thing that is conveyed, especially by language. 2, something meant or intended or an aim. 3, a significant quality, especially implication of a hidden or special significance, and 4a, the logical connotation of a word or phrase, or 4b, the logical denotation or extension of a word or phrase. One of the threads here is like intent. And I think when we're talking about the intent of the existence of life in the universe, then you're getting into like a pretty heavy spiritual question of whether there is intent behind the existence of life. And like, whose intent would that be if it was not the intent of something living? You can talk to your priest about or whatever, but maybe we'll just put that definition aside. But the intent of like human life and society in general, that's something that we could collectively determine. And the meaning of an intent of a life as individuals is something that we can individually determine, but also with a degree of like a social component, if you're following me on the distinctions.
A lot of those definitions you gave have to do with language, which makes sense because meaning is typically conveyed through language. And it's sort of a different idea of meaning to talk about a life having meaning. When I think of the meaning of life, I think of some like grander purpose. And that does bring up questions of like, okay, well, whose purpose are we talking? Who gets to define what this purpose is? I'm not someone who thinks there's like a being on high defining a purpose for all of us, but I do think there's a sort of emergent tendency of humans have impulses and desires and ways that we are from our society and our biology. We have needs for food, water, shelter, socialization, and more. And through each of us coming together, grasping towards those needs, a sort of emergent process of having a purpose comes from that. Yeah, I think part of the meaning of life is to meet your needs and to help meet the needs of other people. That's sort of like an inbuilt purpose in a way, in that it feels really bad when you don't get your needs met, and it feels really good when you do get your needs met. So we just kind of like naturally want to get our needs met.
Yeah, I think when people talk about the meaning of life, either they're talking about that really grand spiritual stuff, or they're talking about like purpose, like individual purpose. I think that's the main connotations. And the meaning definition 3, a significant quality, especially an implication of a hidden or special significance, I think it's like part of the meaning of life question. It's like, what is the hidden or special significance of life existing or me existing in the world? This has been hotly debated and discussed by generations of human beings, and there's different broad takes on it. Either people are working in service of community or family or God or the beautiful dream of an alternate political order, of the overthrow of tyrants, or
discovering the universe. The purpose of life is the universe coming to know itself. That's another one.
Yeah, beautiful idea. Yeah. And then there's also like the existentialist take is, well, there is no meaning. There's nothing there except for what we choose to create, which would be my general assumption. I guess if I'm pressed to lock it down, I believe that life is like an emergent property of the rules and systems of the universe, which formed this way for some reason. Maybe because the alternatives weren't tenable.
Yeah, it's interesting because, yeah, all these terms like purpose and meaning, reason, like having a reason to do a thing. Like, these are all terms that generally require agency. So, yeah, talking about a singular grand purpose or meaning of life is almost begging the question in terms of, like, is there some greater spiritual being, or is there a type of meaning that isn't dependent on an agent intending something? It's almost like a language game or a language issue, like thinking about it in those terms. And then the existential answer to that is like, okay, there's no reason to think there's like some God that has a purpose for all of us. And so the only meaning that exists is the meaning that we create for ourselves, because we actually have minds, we have intentions, we mean things, and we have purposes with our actions. So that's where purpose is. It's located in each individual. So that's, like, I think very true in a sense. But because all humans share certain things and all living beings share certain things, if you're using purpose or meaning in a more abstract way that isn't directly tied to a particular agent, there might be a broader purpose in a sense. You can say that meeting needs is, like, you know, it's very rare for a thing to be alive and for it not to want to meet its own needs on some level.
Yeah, yeah. If we're talking about, like, lowercase l life, like, all known life is going through processes that are shaped by a long history towards meeting needs. And then in some of the spheres of life that we find most meaningful and interesting, places where you have social structures, either like the incipient social structures of animals or the more complex social structures of human beings. So there's, like, another layer of needs that are being met by that, of, like, taking care of children or community or elders or relationships and so on. And then this kind of connects to the libraries thing, but I feel like the definition of, like, about a hidden significance or meaning, it's almost not necessary, because I feel like the significance is also just very apparent of, when you think about, in particular, like, human life, where we have the capacity for these complex technologies, the ability to amass knowledge, narrative, to reason, or to even, like, compute or calculate, and to convey that through language within a community or across generations. Like, all those things to me seem like types of real significant, like, real awe-inspiring significance. And I think that's what makes the, or a way for the universe to know itself idea so profound. Like, the,
yeah,
those types of significance together feel to me like, when we're talking about what's the meaning of human life, what's the meaning of human life in society, like, that territory, it feels very apparent to me, that significance, and not hidden. And it feels sufficient to me too. I don't need something more than that. I don't feel like there's a significant question left after that, other than to say, wow, look at us go. What a species, what a culture, what a... That feels sufficiently meaningful to me.
If you're doing something to help someone, even just having, like, a personal connection with a person, maybe you're not, like, helping them, but, like, you share a laugh with someone, it feels significant. And so it is, because significance is a feeling. It is just readily apparent that things mean things to people, and things are significant to people because they help meet a need, or because they help form a connection, or they help us have experience that is awe-inspiring. Or I think at a certain point, you just kind of have to take that at face value and accept it, because some of the more, like, nihilistic strains on this are sometimes, like, kind of bizarre. Like, I've always found it a little bizarre when people say things like, oh, you know, everything you're going to do in your life a million years from now, nobody's even going to know about. And that's probably true. Maybe it's not true. Maybe you'll be the one that'll be remembered. But what does that have to do with whether or not it's significant right now, or whether or not it has meaning right now? That it's kind of a non sequitur. But if you frame everything like that, then yes, you can get to this place of, like, oh yeah, ultimately nothing means anything, because the sun's going to explode and the planet will be gone one day. But
yeah, I mean, that kind of analysis is so weak. I mean, what if the sun wasn't going to explode? What if everything that we did was remembered forever? These people, they would find some way. They'd find some way to say this again in a different way. They'd be like, even though everyone's going to remember everything you did forever, and the sun will never explode, and human beings will continue in perpetuity to infinity, people won't really care. people won't really care. They'll know what you did, but they won't really care. And even if they did care, well, they'll probably interpret it wrong. Yeah. They'll probably misunderstand you. You'll probably be misunderstood across history. Or even if they understood you well, they would, like, it's just like a nihilist game at a certain point.
What does it matter if they understood you? If they're understanding billions and billions of people, you're just like one tiny sliver of all that understanding. In terms of a percentage, it would be basically the same if you weren't within that canon of everything that's remembered and cataloged and understood perfectly. So it means nothing.
Yeah. Even if everyone you ever met loved you and everything you tried to do, you did perfectly. And even if you were always perfectly understood, and even if you made a big impact and you were remembered for generations in a way that respected kind of like your humanity and agency without deifying you or turning you into, even if every person you met you helped and your family loved you and your kids grew up to be people who made you proud and all, at the end of all that, I mean, who really cares? The universe doesn't care. And it's like, you know what, man? It's not a great point. Like the sun, yeah, maybe the sun's going to explode. I have it on, I think, some good authority. The sun's eventually going to stop doing its sun thing. It's going to impact the capacity for life here in the universe on some sort of really long timeline that involves a bunch of zeros that's beyond comprehension, that has nothing to do with me or what's going on in my life. Who cares about that? What are you even talking about? Like, what are you even talking about? What does it have to do with anything?
Even the way you just phrase that now, and I realize we're phrasing these things in ways to tear them down or whatever, but like, who cares if everyone in your life loved you and you touched people and had an impact? Well, it's like, you kind of just said who cared, right? Like all the people who loved you and the people you impacted and them, that's who cares. Well, they're gone and dead in the future. Well, that's true. But like, it's said in a way as if it negates the previous caring, but it actually doesn't.
It's not a real analysis. It's just not, you're not talking about anything that has to do with anyone's lives. Like if you're taking like a nihilistic existential approach, like, yeah, we're this tiny speck in time. And it's like, people also didn't know who I was before I was born. They mostly don't know who I am while I'm alive. I don't actually know that I would want everyone to know who I was. I definitely wouldn't want that, actually. There's all these like weird false assumptions underneath that kind of nihilism in a way that's just like, we could find specific examples and pick it apart all day. But it seems obvious to me, like on an individual level, the relationships we have with people matter to them and to us. And that is significant. The pursuit of art and creativity and knowledge and the perpetuation of values and the political co-creation of things that actualize those values, take care of each other, make a difference to people's lives, like that's meaningful to the people who are both doing it and who are potentially impacted by it. The love parents have for their children, or say even more in general, that adults have towards the children of the world, who are all of our children, all of our responsibility, and we want the best for them. That matters to us. And it matters to, again, the next generation as they are affected by how we treat them. Like there's all these things that matter in life to the people who are affected at the time. And that's definitely sufficient. It's definitely like a sufficient one of the artistic kind of things, or like analytical artistic things people want to do sometimes too, is like they want to make a really big point out of what makes life great is a little laugh between friends and connecting with someone you've never met before, making them feel good, or an old person struggling to carry their groceries and you help them. That's the real meaning. That's the real purpose of all this. And in a sense, I get where that's coming from. And in fact, even saying that sarcastically, I was a little bit touched by that idea that we help strangers who we see as needing help. But it's like the question itself about like a purpose or a meaning is so malformed that all of these things are kind of cheapened in a way that to make these assertions helps create the reaction of like the tiny insignificant speck. And when people say that's science too, it's just another thing. If people are like, well, scientifically, we're really small and we don't matter and the sun's going to explode and stuff. It's like, how is that? That's nothing to do with science. That's not even a prediction.
that's like, that's not even, that's like an understanding of the limits of what we can measure and see. But like,
it's also, it's a conflation of factual claims with claims about meaning and intent. And like, science might say that we are very small compared to the universe. Factually, that's true. But science can never say that we don't mean anything, because you can't scientifically determine that. That's not a, that's like an is-ought thing kind of happening there.
Yeah. And how big would we have to be compared to the universe? For our size, for people to not, like, how big would we have to be that it's like, wow, you know, humans were pretty big compared to the universe, at least. Like, who gives a fuck? What are you talking about? Like, humans, the human planet's 10% of the universe. That's actually, you know, the universe could have been much larger.
We would have meant so much less if the universe was really big. But since it's only 10 times as big as the planet, we actually mean a lot.
We can feel really good about what we're doing day after day, because the sun's never going to burn out. And we're actually a, quite a large proportion of the universe physically. And all of our memories are going to be preserved. We're going to be honored across generations. The things we do will matter to other people in perpetuity. Like, all of that would be insufficient to scratch the itch that wonders whether it is worth it, and whether what happens to us is fair, and that, like, we're thinking of the emotional needs underlying the smallness argument here. Like, the questions that are being asked with that as a proxy are questions that could not be satisfied by changing the parameters of the universe.
You could do it with anything, too. Like, you could be like, oh, I ate some cake yesterday and it tasted good. And then you could be like, okay, but does it really taste good? Like, if every single person on the planet ate that cake, would they all say it tasted good? Are people in 10,000 years from now going to say that that cake tasted good that you had? Or are they not even going to know it existed? And if they don't know it existed, then can we even say whether the taste was good at that time? Like, it's... if you zoom everything out into this, like, universal perspective across time and space, then, like, nothing ever is anything, especially anything subjective like that. Like, if meaning between you and me doesn't count because a million years from now, nobody's going to know about this thing we experienced that was meaningful to us, then yeah, why can we say anything has any quality if a million years from now it's not going to have that quality anymore? It just doesn't make sense. And we don't typically do that with anything else.
Yeah. Well, it reminds me also of like the, it's like this pseudo-scientific scientism kind of almost. I associate it with smugness, but it could be very matter of fact to someone. But like, yeah, the cake only tastes good because you evolved to try to get energy, and it sends a signal through your tongue to your brain that's like the illusion of goodness, yada, yada. Or like, yeah, you know, it feels good to fall in love or whatever, but we're just like meat puppets, man, responding to just evolutionary objectives. That's just the oxytocin. And so yeah, here's my challenge to, so I don't care if people dip into neuroscience in a way that's colloquial, like I do it myself. I think it's fine to talk about cortisol and stuff without a full understanding. But if someone's using that type of understanding to diminish the meaning of life, like the meaning of day-to-day life, we should absolutely grill them on what the fuck we're talking about. Like, cortisol, what is the substance of cortisol and how does it function? Like, you're talking about cortisol. In what way is cortisol deployed by the brain, like according to the science that you're aware of? How does the cortisol work? And just like call their bluff on not actually knowing what they're talking about. Or like, it's just dopamine. Yeah, what is the chemical structure of dopamine? When did we discover it? And when is it utilized? What would it look like if we didn't have it? Like,
but also, even if it is just dopamine, why does that mean that it's not also the other thing? Like, let's say love is just oxytocin in your brain. Okay, if one level of analysis of what love is that it's oxytocin in your brain, what does that mean that it's not love, or that it's not meaningful, or that it's not also all the other things we think it is? It doesn't it can be both. There can be multiple levels of analysis of a thing, and there's the sort of external brain measuring level of analysis and the experiential level of analysis, and they are both real and both true at the same time.
Yeah, and the word just, I mean, the word just is carrying so much. Like, you can just throw just in front of everything. Oh, that's just your child surviving. Like, it's the...
why are you so happy that your kid beat cancer? Like, just another kid who beat cancer. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just a third degree burn. It's just being tortured to death once. It's just oxytocin. Okay. Like, more accurately, according to our best understanding, we have labeled something that we have found or measured in some way oxytocin, because in the norms of scientific labeling, we use very technical terms that are polysyllabic and have certain root words and have like certain etymologies and so on. So like oxytocin, on one level, people are almost acting like the word oxytocin as this like sterile, unfeeling thing is something that we discovered that showed that we're just robots or something like that. But if you just like called oxytocin love, it's like, oh, that's just the love in your brain. And be like, yeah, that's what I said.
Exactly, yeah.
And this is the scientific understanding of how love works on like a mechanical level to our best current understanding. And it's like, okay, great. It takes nothing away from the joy, elation of life, or the exhilaration of following a purpose or design or goal to success. It takes nothing away from the warmth that is felt through community and like all that kind of whole territory of like sort of pseudoscientific cynicism to like sterilize, like take metaphors of machinery and apply it to an experiential existence. Like human experience is experiential. The experience comes first. The knowledge is us collectively trying to find out more about how things work, to be able to do more things, and also to just scratch that itch of curiosity. But like, yeah, there's just like a fundamental gap. There's an unbridgeable chasm there, and all of these pseudo arguments against the experiential being like quote unquote actually meaningful. That like a yeah. So I guess what I'm thinking is just is like the purpose of life is like. I thought I had it for a second, but then I was trying to jam too much in it.
What happens? It slips through your fingers.
Yeah. That's the real meaning of life, to feel like you understand it for a second and then have it all fall apart and to be humbled and small.
I don't know if there's one purpose of life. There are meanings of life. There are purposes to life. You could have like, yeah, the meta purpose of life is to follow your purposes. Some of those are like, yeah, meeting needs or satisfying curiosity, or you can frame it in a lot of different ways. And I don't think any of them are necessarily wrong. I think the only things that are maybe not helpful is the best way to put it, is that deflationary idea that like all these things that seem meaningful really aren't, because we can explain them and they don't meet some standard that I've set of like this ultimate purpose that includes everything and lasts forever and never deteriorates or changes. But like the reason that we even ask these questions about the meaning and purpose of life is because we feel meaning and purpose in our lives all the time. Like we feel like we have reasons for doing things, reasons for wanting things. We feel it when purposes that we have aren't completed or satisfied, or when things don't meet our expectations, we feel the lack of that meaning or that purpose. So like, you can try to talk your way around it and be smarter than the experiential facts of like human phenomenology, but every single day people are going to want things, people are going to have passions, they're going to have goals in life, they're going to have things they want to achieve, they're going to have people they want to meet, they're going to have experiences that feel meaningful to them. And I don't say feel meaningful to them in a way to like diminish it at all, because that's what meaning is. It's an experience. And if things feel meaningful to you, then that's what meaning is. That's what a thing being meaningful is. So, yeah, I don't know. Maybe the meaning of life is love, I guess. Doesn't really follow from what I said, but just popped into my mind. If you want to boil it down to one thing, it's probably love. Our libraries, kind of similar things.
Yeah, you know, the universe is like a good idea thinking itself. So it's the meaning of life is inspiration. It's a prolonged hundreds of billion year long eureka moment, aka love, aka connection. Actually, one point I wanted to make, I was just like really playing jazz there for a second, but the yeah, I find it's funny because it's like maybe it's a little bit straw man-y. I don't even feel like it's like that big of a contingent, or it's not a lot of, it's more like a feeling people have sometimes about like hopelessness and despair and smallness and so on that takes certain forms in this like pseudoscientific thing we're talking about. But I want to put the frame of like, instead of contextualizing the meaning of life against the totality of what actually is, which is mostly unknowable, it probably is a lot more useful to contextualize and limit our discussion or debate or reasoning on the meaning of life to the container of everything that we experience. So, like, to answer the question of we're really small in the universe, instead we're saying our experience takes up 100% of the things that we experience and know, so therefore it's very significant. Instead of worrying about the sun exploding or fizzling out or whatever in the future, it's like, well, the sun's going to be there for all of my time, all of my experience, so that's, I'm good on that, you know, like,
yeah.
Because if you set that frame, then every one of these diminishing things is just obviously like not even part of the conversation. It's like not even part of the question of like, what should we do with our container of human experience? And I guess implicitly at the end of that, how are we not racked with regret and pain? How do we fill the container with the things that are most significant, the container of our entire human experience, and make it so that it will stand up to reflection at the end? That is the most useful part of this question. I mean, I think thinking about God and the universe and science or whatever, it can be fun or maybe culturally useful, but like the real meaning of life is the answer to what do we do with this container of time and experience and so on. And I think definitely part of that answer is to participate in love of all forms, which is also connected to the pure mechanistic filling of need that was previously mentioned as like part of the life equation.
Yeah, it's a big way you show love for people is like helping to meet their needs.
It's interesting to think too on the spectrum of like needs, like very few people would say that the meaning of life is to like drink water, get sleep, and eat, unless they were maybe being cynical or humorous. But that's definitely part of the need spectrum. And then also in the need spectrum, you have things like family relationships and so on, which I think a lot of people would put in the category of like the meaning of life, even though they're kind of on a spectrum together of like essential human needs. I guess you get a little more creativity in the relationship. Well, no, I mean, how you drink water and the way that the best recipes for food and so on. I don't know, it's just occurred to me that there's like a line drawn there in my folk psychology projection of how people might think of answering this question. Because it's also like, I don't have the hierarchy of needs in front of me, but I was just writing down agency, creation, discovery, creativity, knowledge. Like these are things that I find meaningful and joyful that I think are on the need spectrum in some way, in some form. But that feels like a better answer to the meaning of life than drinking water and eating food.
Yeah, needs meeting also ties into like what you were saying about you not being racked with pain and regret. The more of your needs that are met, the less pain you're going to be in. The more needs that you can meet for yourself while also helping to meet other people's needs, the less you're going to regret. And those are positive actions. They could be called loving actions. We're biological creatures that have things that make us happy and healthy and having a more vibrant, enjoyable existence. So the things that we need for that end are just kind of like natural desires that we have. Meaning and purpose are like, how can I contribute to that? How can I contribute to human flourishing? So that's like, in terms of your experience, what is your purpose in life? Yeah, there's this nexus of like flourishing and love and meeting needs and libraries. It all kind of like fits together in terms of participating in the increasing of the flourishing of life and positive experience and the avoidance of excessive negative experience. You need to drink water and eat food to do those things.
The meaning of life is to sleep enough and drink plenty of water.
The rest will just work itself out.
Yeah. I mean, in a way, that's true.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Thank you for coming once again to the Bad Meaning of Life support group. Of course, as you all know, this is where people who received meaning of lives that just really weren't what they expected, weren't what they wanted, can come together and talk about it, and it helps. I started as a member of one of these meetings. I was told that the meaning of my life was to become the villain of my workplace through a lot of small things that I was doing that were annoying everybody, and to cause them all to unite against me to ultimately change the workplace for the better. And that happened, and now I'm doing this, and it helps. I see a few new faces here. Do you want to maybe introduce yourself and tell us what your meaning of life is?
My name is Chris. My meaning of life was to help Natasha Toms write her first great film. And yeah, I dated Natasha Toms like 13 years ago. I haven't thought about her in a long time. Obviously, I'm happy for her career. And
oh, so you were the toxic man that...
Yeah, I mean,
that's... Inspired, because that's a great movie, her first movie.
Yeah. So yeah, I assume it's talking about that one. Like, I was trying to think, like, oh, could I help her write the first truly great one in the future?
I would say it was already great. Yeah. I mean, it's not her greatest, obviously.
No, but it was her first great one, for sure. So it's like kind of... And I, yeah, but anyway.
It's kind of cool for you, but...
Yeah, well, I mean, I got stuff going on, though. Like, I...
Are you still really toxic in relationships, or...?
No, I mean, I think there's you learn a lot over the years, and it was exaggerated in the movie, like, in a narrative sense. Some of the, and like, just for the record, like, that's, it's not based on me. Like, I can recognize elements of, but it doesn't, like, it's an amalgam kind of.
Sure. Whatever you say. I mean,
No, but I mean, for real, like, that in some, I can even point to who the other things that happened around us that I was totally like on the right. It doesn't matter. Like, it's not, I mean, it does matter actually, but anyways, no, I think I've learned a lot in 13 years, of course, about, but.
Well, great. Yeah, no, we're here. We're supporting you. I'm so glad that you chose to share that. There is one thing I wanted to say before we continue on. Everybody here remembers Annabeth. Annabeth was a member last week. She came in and told us that the meaning of her life was actually to tragically die, to inspire the much greater adventure of her son to avenge her and to make a big change in society. And she was grappling with her imminent mortality and with essentially being, you know, sacrificed for her son's greater storyline, and she's kind of a bit player.
Yeah,
It actually said that on the sheet that she got printed out. You're kind of a bit player.
Oh.
Anyway, that actually, it came to pass. Annabeth died, and I believe her son is actively avenging that now.
Here's to Anna, everyone. She had no choice.
We have no choice.
I've got an update, Richard. My meaning of life is to pick up garbage, not particularly well, but consistently. And I had a big breakthrough this week that... Before I got this, I did the things that I enjoyed. I pursued dreams and aspirations, and I had a sense of personal meaning that has been lost by this
cursed toxic, knowledge.
Yeah, this cursed machine. This cursed and mysterious machine, promising dreams and delivering a proportion of nightmares to make it happen. Look at the filmmaker Natasha, right? Her thing probably talks about all her great films. It's her destiny to make all these great films.
Does
it mention the way that she treats the postman, the wait staff? Does it mention the way she treats her neighbors? And is she great to those people? If not, does it mention everything about all of us? No. Does it mention everything that's meaningful about us? No, it's one thing, the thing. But nothing in life is just one thing. And if I had gotten, oh, I have to create an invention that's going to feed the children, I would have been a faithful servant of that. But would it mention everything that I do that matters to me? No. So just because I'm going to ultimately pick up this garbage consistently, and that's, I'm a bit player, everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Not everyone can be a star. The bit players matter, and they have lives that don't relate to their place in the, okay? That's what I'm saying. All right, everyone?
That's great, yeah.
That's where I'm at.
All people who invent life-saving machines need someone to clean up after them. All great artists need horrible people to inspire them. And it's not all that we are, but it is a big part of what we are.
You know, my meaning of my life is too embarrassing for me to say out loud. I know everyone wants me to share it, and I haven't. But
yeah, we are so curious.
It's too weird, man. I can't tell you, and I never will. And it really fucked me up for a while. It's just fucking weird, man. It's not right to do that to someone, but this fucking universe has a loose screw, man. What we're all going through here with all this. But hey, I'm a speedrunner in video games, and I have records, and that's fun.
Sure.
And any mysterious object that shares with us the meaning of our lives that doesn't reflect that about me, I have to reject. That's not my religion, man. So, like, whatever. Okay?
Thank you for sharing that. For anybody who, you know, we've gotten a lot of requests. People really want us to reach out and get the publicly humiliated guy who'd recently taught everyone a big lesson into the support group. We did reach out again. He continues to obstinately claim the machine is wrong, and the public humiliation continues. So we just have to wait for him to circle back on that. We can't force him into the support group, as much as many of us want to meet him as the minor celebrity of our kind.
I love that guy.
He's an inspiration.
That's what we're all thinking.
Just once. Could we send a letter to him that says that he's taught us a second lesson that's more meaningful to us? That although the machine is true, our dignity in facing fate and reclamation of our personal autonomy gives us a deeper sense of meaning, of which he is the avatar and hero.
We can absolutely try again. We have sent many messages with maybe not quite so beautifully worded as you just put it, but a similar message. And he tends to say that we're freaks and losers, the machine does not work, and that he would never be associated with inspiring anything in any of us because he's not like us. Frankly, it makes me look up to him more.
Yeah, that rocks.
Yeah.
So cool.
He's right. We are freaks and
losers. He's the coolest guy ever. I want him to come here and inspire us. What is the meaning of life is a question that is asking, depending on context, for a story. A story about what the universe is, a story about what humanity is, a story about what my life is or should be. Like, this is a request for a story or a narrative.
Yeah.
And narratives are so infinitely flexible that people trying to answer this question could come to anything from enhance human freedom to there is no story. Like, that's what the nihilists are saying, right? Like, what is the meaning of life? There is no story. We're very small. The universe is going to cease to exist and will be forgotten.
Yeah, there's no single story that everyone is agreeing is the one being told and that we're all a part of. But there kind of is.
Yeah, I think another layer to it, too, is like, what is a transcendent universal story that can summarize
the universe, our place in it, and my life. And that is, it's understandable people would debate about that.
Yeah, it's a big ask.
Yeah, and the meaning, it's so just, it's like silly. And like, what's the meaning of The Sopranos? There's like 60 or 80 episodes there. Like, even if people are trying to describe the meaning of Toy Story 2, they're going to have at least like three themes to explore, you know, like the meaning, like how many words do we get to describe the meaning of the universe, life in general, human life, and our individual lives as all 8 billion people on this planet and however many came before. This question's almost like, it's like asking someone what the best song is, you know, it's like, What is the song of life?
It's obviously Bohemian Rhapsody, but some people have other opinions.
Yeah, I feel like it's definitely not that song.
See?
It's not the best. Like, it's good, it's cute, or whatever, you know, Wayne's World.
Cute.
But
did you say Wayne's World?
It was, the song was popularized by Wayne's World when they were singing it in the car. It wasn't a hit before that. That's where it became like a cultural.
I don't know that.
Yeah, well, there you go. Do you feel cynical about it now?
No, I feel skeptical of the claim. I'm just like, I don't know if I believe that. When did the song release? When was Wayne's World?
Yeah, no, there's...
Honestly, what I feel like right now is my purpose is to get on Google and to disprove what you're saying.
Yeah, well, look it up. Well, if I'm misremembering, I'll take the L, but I'm pretty sure that's true. And I'm more of a Killer Queen guy, or Don't Stop Me Now in terms of the Queen library. I like that. There is no right answer to what is the best movie. What is the meaning of life? Is like,
there will be blood.
Sorry.
I keep turning this into debates about my blurted answers to these questions.
No,
but when that electric guitar comes in Bohemian Rhapsody, I don't know. I don't believe that there's anything better.
Huh. No, that's interesting. Yeah. I'm a little bit too transcended to have favorites like that, but too transcended.
Yeah, if you'd caught me in a different mood, I would totally be agreeing with you, but I'm just committed to this now.
Yeah. No, I definitely know that feeling. I know that feeling big time, man. You're in it now. So you're going to defend... So like the same way that it's a silly question to ask what is the best movie, which I don't know, I got some favorites. I really like Children of Men, but I still feel uncomfortable calling it the best, thinking about even just like movies I've only seen once, I don't have a strong opinion on, but High and Low. Have you ever seen High and Low, the Japanese?
No.
Black and white film. So good.
Check it out, add it to the list.
Yeah, add that shit to the list. It's really good. It's hard to watch subtitle movies with kids, not just because they can't read it, not that you necessarily would want them to, but it's just like there's way more distractions. It's the question of what is the meaning of life is the question. What is the best story to summarize the universe, our place in it, and our individual lives? And so that's just, fan cons would end in bloodshed if we tried to answer the question of which is the best Marvel movie. Like, the best question is malformed. You know what's interesting too is people talk about the nihilism of like, oh, the universe is going to like fade apart and break down somehow or whatever in the future, but no one's ever concerned, and like, you're going to be forgotten and it's not going to matter in the long run, but no one ever worries about that, like chronologically before they came into existence. Like, life is meaningless. For all of human evolution, no one knew who you were and you couldn't help them, you weren't there, and the universe at one point didn't exist or existed so fundamentally differently that it's like, I don't know, like,
yeah, like a temporal bias of almost, to you, you're claiming that nothing before you mattered in that sense, but then you're not going to matter because you won't matter to anyone in the future.
Yeah, like, if we're going to be big brained looking down and explaining the objectivity of reality and how small it makes us, that we can make the opposite argument, but like, what's with this like temporal naturalism that thinks that time is something that moves forward because that's what our experience of it is? I mean, that's just signals in our brain. Like, that's just a pragmatic thing that relates to like having in this great, beautiful, fractal, dancing universe, like, animals need to think that time moves forward in order to be making decisions based on meeting their needs. But that's just like an illusion also, or it could at the very least be an illusion.
Yeah, or like, but even if time moves forward or whatever, like if that's how we define time as like the, I heard this recently, the dimension across which things change or something. Either way, like if time moves forward, that doesn't mean that meaning moves in such a way that all the things after your existence contribute to your fundamental meaning, but nothing before your existence contributes to your fundamental meaning. It doesn't follow from that in any way. Life is meaningful because it feels meaningful. Having a meaningful life involves doing things that give you that feeling. It can't be taken away by the future in the same way that it can't be taken away by the past.
Yeah. The meaning within our experiential box cannot be taken away by things outside that box. It can only be influenced by things outside that box when it's happening. It occurred to me recently that we don't even really know that what didn't happen didn't actually happen somehow. And by that, I mean, if we think of the universe as a singular linear thing, as compared to maybe like a splitting universe, parallel universe, it could be that they don't relate to each other or they don't break from each other, but you have multiple world planes operating at the same time. Like outside of what we can see, there's this whole possibility of bigger and crazier infinities. And so like, we don't actually know that what happened to us always happened to us and every version of us that existed. We don't know how many of us existed. It's possible there's just one, but it's possible that what didn't happen did happen elsewhere across an axis that is neither X, Y, or Z, but a different one that we can't conceive of. And I just think that's neat.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I'm trying to flip scientific, like lack of knowledge, cynicism into like wonder, I guess. I think that's unconsciously what I'm trying to do. I guess people are looking for a transcendence too. Like, what is the universe? The universe is, at the very least, a pretty good place that is very interesting and is the only place we'll ever get to know. And so, yeah, what is our place in it as humans? Well, we're by far the most interesting animal. We get an incredible amount of agency, creation, discovery, knowledge. We can have more varied and more interesting types of emotions and love and experiences. And you're a person who was born in a weird context at a weird time to strange people who didn't fully understand what they were doing. And in fact, you can probably never fully understand what you're doing either. But you can understand better in a way that is more satisfying and is more useful to you. And in that process, you can meet your needs and bring a sense of generosity towards other people's needs in a way that enriches your relationships between them. And you can contribute to projects that you feel motivated to participate in because you care about the outcomes. And in some cases, that will be helping other people directly. In other cases, that might just be the pursuit of knowledge or whimsy, or it could be speedrunning GoldenEye on Nintendo 64. But in that pursuit, you get control over that space. You can achieve some sort of outcome for others or yourself, or that make you proud. And if you have a life like that, where you're caring for other people, you're doing things that make you proud, you're pushing yourself to achieve the highest level that you can, thread together your own story in more detail, where you're the protagonist, where at the end, despite that we know that the curtain call is coming eventually and it's all got to come to an end, that in that context, you're going to have the best chance at looking back on this story that you've written with a sense of warm contentment and completion instead of agony and despair, if in every step along the way you did your best to make other people feel valued, connect with them. You had fun with people that you care about. You pursued the things that you cared about and felt agency, pushed yourself to do things that made you feel proud, and contributed to the human narrative and project, which is being the most interesting, most caring, most creative, most knowledgeable species that functions as a hyper-organism through the use of libraries. So that's the meaning of life, I think. That's the story.
Yeah. Yeah. The way to bridge the gap between the transcendent meaning and the individual meaning is that the purpose of life is to pursue these purposes. Being able to hold those two things in your mind at once, of like, to pursue your purpose that in general is going to align with others' purposes, because we are a species that share many things: life, love, happiness, libraries, joy. Pursuing goals is the purpose. So let's get out there. Let's make positive impacts on people's lives. Let's pursue goals that help meet our needs and the needs of others. Let's build some libraries. Let's create a hyper, or contribute to the existing hyperorganism of humanity through our shared knowledge, and, you know, let's have meaningful lives. We can't help but have meaningful lives, because life is so infused with meaning inherently that, like, you're just constantly doing things that mean things, even if you don't mean to. Maybe sometimes the nihilism comes from people wanting to escape all that meaning that's just constantly hitting them over the head of everything they're doing, just meaning things all the time, and you can't get around it. So you like to fantasize that it doesn't exist, but it does. I'm sorry.
Yeah, the point of your life is to do what you're doing, and you're already doing great. And I think how you get better at doing what you're doing is up to you. And I also, like, I keep on thinking about the counter argument. If it's not, this is kind of interesting. Like, do you think part of the meaning of life in the kind of sense that we're talking about here is like to be free or to be good to the degree of their intention?
Yeah, again, it's like the meaning. I think those are both things that people feel a desire to move towards. I think people feel a need to be free, and I think people feel a need to be good. And so meeting both of those needs is meaningful.
Yeah, and the real thing that is the meaning is like some complicated symbiosis of those and other concepts and love in a way that is like we lack the ability to describe because of our language without using many, many words and talking about different circumstances and so on. But they're actually the same thing if we're talking about the transcended external purpose of the universe. I don't know if I actually believe this. I'm just kind of riffing.
There's a library of meanings and a library of purposes, and the meta purpose is to browse and select and fulfill what you can with the time that you have.
And welcome back to Wrongtown News. Edward Stinky Butt Jones.
There's a name you hear all the time.
Now, he rose to prominence, bickering out the Ticketmaster at the mysterious machine of fate.
One of the most epic meltdowns in history.
His pants and underwear fell down. He rolled down the stairs right into the frame of a photographer trying to take a picture for the front page of the newspaper, so his butt was in the newspaper.
Really taught us all a lesson, a valuable lesson.
People take different lessons, whether it's about fighting fate or whether it is about it being better not to know your destiny, better not to know the meaning of your life.
And of course, the humiliation continued for a long time after that. He continued to insist the machine was wrong. He even commissioned several large studies to prove the machine was wrong.
Great personal expense.
He spent tens of thousands of dollars on a study, and every historical example he could dig up showed the machine actually was correct. And it was a professional humiliation that followed his original.
Yeah, many have interpreted that as also being consistent with the meaning of his life. But, you know, I've always kind of liked him.
Definitely.
I saw myself in his butt in a way.
Yeah, because we all get humiliated, not obviously as humiliated as him, but he's relatable, you know, in a kind of cartoonish, over-the-top way. And You know, I think what's even more relatable is just his discontent with the machine. And I think that's really what a lot of people caught on to.
No, even some of the people with, on paper, the best destinies, they're frustrated with the limits of it.
Absolutely.
What's missing or what they want to do, or they've achieved it already. It's like you get your great fate that you've done something very important. And it's like, okay, well, now what? So in that sense, everyone saw themselves, I think, in the underwear falling down and the rest of it. I know I always sympathized with him. So seeing what he's gone on to do now,
absolutely.
I mean, he can't walk down the street. Everyone's screaming his name, trying to get his signature.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of the big things with the machine is it'll tell you the meaning of your life, but it doesn't tell you everything else that surrounds that. And like when he was told that he was going to be publicly humiliated and teach everyone a lesson, sure, that happened. Of course it happened. The machine said it would. But what it didn't say was that he would become a celebrity, and by many counts, the biggest celebrity in our society, universally beloved, doesn't get any of that Twitter hate that almost every celebrity has a hate club. He doesn't have one, as far as I can tell.
He's got a real glow to him, and especially since he started embracing Stinky Butt, and I know that was hard for him, but
yeah, right.
I don't know, he's rolled with it in a way. Like he signed his book, Living with Fate, just Stinky Butt, and I mean, I got it first night.
Oh, I waited in line. I had him sign the book, my t-shirt, which is a picture of his butt from that fateful photograph. And he signed it right on the cheeks for me, which is what I'd always wanted. I never went to get the meaning of my life from the machine because I was convinced not to from him. But part of me believes that the meaning of my life would have just been to collect that signature, because that's just, that's big for me.
Yeah, it's nice. I mean, what I learned from him is it's nice to be able to make those guesses change over time. What feels good to you this week might not feel good to you. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't want to say, oh, now I'm done, right? Maybe there's stuff ahead for you.
Yeah.
There most certainly is. Yeah, I think that's the big lesson of Stinky Butt is some people say that he beat fate, but I don't agree.
I think he changed fate. He recontextualized it. He creatively reinterpreted it.
Yeah, and if the meaning of his life has all this empty space to fill with yourself, while that is the meaning of his life, to teach us lessons through his humiliations, at the same time, I mean, one of those lessons is that, look, he's a multimillionaire. He's a philanthropist. He's had flings with a series of Hollywood starlets and philosophers and
some of the most beautiful men and women in the world.
Yeah, down to earth, small town farmers and waitresses. He's a prolific lover.
Are you going to the statue unveiling the statue of him?
Oh yeah, I've heard he absolutely hates it and finds it humiliating. So I want to make sure that I get the lesson.
You know, he says he hates it and finds it humiliating, and I'm sure he does, but he did agree to give the commencement speech at the statue unveiling. So part of me thinks that he likes it, and he should like it. He should be proud of what he's done and how much people love him. And maybe it's hard for him sometimes walking around getting flocked by fans constantly. Oh, show us your butt. Does it really stink? Is it stinky butt? It's like all butts kind of stink. Like, what are you asking me?
It's a funny butt, and you can't blame them. But at the same time, I mean, that could get tiring.
Yeah. I can see why he keeps getting unmasked in public. He's just wearing the hat low down and shades and a hoodie. He's trying to go out without being recognized, but it's hard. He's
and I understand
so well-known.
The people who try to track him down and humiliate him to shake the pinata of lessons for humanity.
Yeah,
I get where they're coming from, and it certainly works. But at the same time, I think we have to respect his requests.
Yeah.
Let him live in peace. So we have actually a lot of news to cover today, but we're out of time. So we're just going to have to do double news tomorrow because we just got kind of carried away talking about our favorite celebrity. But this has been Wrong Town News. And do you want to do your signature trade-off that you always say at the end of every episode?
Sure. Yeah, I'd love to.
Yeah, take it away.
That's the news.
And if you want to get a Wrong Town News, That's the News t-shirt, you can visit our Wrong Town News website. Now a quick ad from our sponsors. Edward Stinky Butt Jones, you're so relatable to me, I trust your judgment. Which brand of consumer-facing cloud storage should I use for me and my family?
Well, that depends. Do you want reliable cloud storage at a low per gigabyte price with multiple off-site backups and quick download and upload times with the Edward Stinky Butt Jones stamp of approval?
Oh, please tell me which brand or service you're talking about.
Don't be humiliated by massive data loss. I use a competing provider, and the amounts of data loss I've suffered have been some of the greatest humiliations of my life and taught me and many others many lessons. And that's why today, one of the lessons that I'm teaching you is to use the sponsor of today's Wrongtown News.
CloudNet Wrong Server Pro. Fast speeds, big gigabytes, and a place far, far away to store your bits and bytes. Our founder received the fate from the mysterious machine that the meaning of his life was to protect user data at a low cost and to provide a pro-level plan that extends the benefits of the basic plan. He found the limitations of that destiny frustrating, but he's risen to the occasion. CloudNet Wrong Server Pro. Protect your data the Stinky Butt way.
My name's Edward Stinky Butt Jones, and I approve of this message. Thanks for listening, everybody. I think we answered the question. I was trying to think of a way to summarize everything, but I feel like I've also done that a few times at this point. I'd just be repeating myself again.
The meaning of life is to recognize that the music that you listen to when you were a teenager is objectively the best music, and the video games you played at an age where you were playing the most video games are the best video games. And the way things used to be when everything felt normal and you weren't thinking about it is the way things should be. And everything from that is a deviation or inadequate.
Right. Yeah.
And time totally moves forward. And the way something is meaningful is by being a big fraction of the universe and by lasting forever.
Like this podcast will. It will last forever.
Absolutely. We're the longest running independent comedy podcast in Canada. And I imagine that's going to continue.
It's such a big fraction of all podcasts.
But the real story, as always, is too big to fit on a bumper sticker or within a podcast. So we hope you enjoyed this conversation and found it useful or clarifying or maddening and confusing in a way that gives you that, ooh, I really want to correct it kind of itch. And then you get the opportunity to correct it in a way that you're like, ah, I got it out of my system. I explained why they're wrong. I hope it's useful in some form to you. And that when you reflect at the end of your life on the things you did, you're glad. Listen to it if you're lucky enough to remember.
Yeah. I think this is the final word on the topic. I don't think anyone's going to come out with another podcast after this. It's like meaning of life, final V2 or anything. I think we nailed it. It's a hard thing to nail, but as well as can be nailed, it's been nailed. So nailed it.
Got to the bottom. You know, we tried to keep digging deeper on this subject and we found the edge of the universe.
Yeah, we did a deep dive and we got right to the bottom.
Do you think if it was possible to dig all the way to the bottom and you reach the edge of the universe while digging, would it be like there's an impenetrable force field that represents the boundary of the universe, or would there be like a mighty absence, like a hole to infinity?
I think that the universe is shaped like a Möbius strip, but in multiple dimensions, so that you would just kind of end back up where you started.
That's a take. I could see that.
It's the only thing I can conceive of, because, yeah, the edge, who knows? Doesn't make sense.
So drink your water, get enough sleep, and take care of each other, for goodness sake. Don't become a... I think part of what people want to do with this question, too, is they want to make an argument about not being Ebenezer Scrooge or something. Like, what's the best story in the universe? The universe is shaped like this. Humans are like this. You're like this. And this is why you shouldn't be Ebenezer Scrooge. That would be what would be satisfying about it. I find myself having the instinct when trying to answer this question to be like, how do I rule out being Ebenezer Scrooge in this scenario? And I guess, yeah, the best story is what goes around comes around. Bad people have a bad time. Good people have a good time. Purpose of life is to have a good time by being good. Don't be Ebenezer Scrooge. Don't be a jerk. Help other people.
Yeah.
That's the meaning of life.
I agree.
But what really helps spruce up a life is by giving to the Seriously Wrong podcast on Patreon. We can't make the show happen without your support.
And a lot of people, when they're reflecting on a long life at the end of a storied adventure with everyone they've ever cared or known about or learned, they look back and they say, oh, goodness gracious, I wish I had more room in my budget to support independent leftist comedy podcasts. And I just missed so many opportunities to get bonus episodes. I missed so many opportunities to honor and support this show that was meaningful to me. And I just wish I made the right choice. And then you have one ward down, someone else also on their deathbed, and they're saying, goodness gracious, I'm so glad that I chipped in that sweet six to the Seriously Wrong podcast, because upon reflection, I didn't realize it at the time, but it's one of the things I'm most proud of now, because I was able to support that great show going for, it's still going now. The Wrong Boys have been cloned, and the new generation of Wrong Boys is continuing. This is someone who is significantly younger than us, I guess, but they're listening to the back catalog and so on.
Yeah.
Maybe they got into us when we were already getting up there. And
I think that makes sense as like kind of a purpose from the beginning of time until the end of time, that is to donate to the Seriously Wrong podcast. And maybe there's iterative versions of the podcast through time that were cloned, or maybe it's that the purpose of life before our existence was to save up to donate when we started to exist. And the purpose of life after our existence is to determine a way to send pennies and coins back in time to when we still did exist. It kind of is a clean answer that really just gets the singular meaning down. One meaning, you feel good when you do it. It's clean. I like that.
Evolution and physics and love and even other people's romances, invention, and so on. It's all God's funny little way of making the Seriously Wrong podcast happen. And it's been a long road to get here, and it's going strong with your help. So don't have a meaningless existence. Join us on Patreon, because there's nothing more bitter and sad than reflecting on a life poorly lived. We'll see you all next time, and thanks for listening.
Bye.
It's sick.